bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam.
All right, I just changed my underpants. I like to do it in between shows.
That's awkward.
We were just talking about
yes,
it
we
before.
Were. Yeah, but you got to, you know, you got to find the right place and time.
I keep my drawers in my drawers.
Wendy, Vince Moranto, who you have
Top
referred
that,
to,
Vince.
You have referred to Vince. I don't know if you heard this during the regular show. Wendy called you, and I quote, a local treasure, and I can't quibble with that.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I'm hard to find. That's what makes me the treasure.
Right. That's so true. That's so true.
How are you, Vince Moranto?
I'm so fine. Let me just start this off by saying it's so cool to follow Orion because he actually spoke at my St. Vider 1975 graduation. He was the speaker.
Do you remember what he said that made you realize I have to also go into show business?
No. Well, it would have been great if I would have come up with something just now.
I put you on the spot, Vince, and you're a local treasure, but that wasn't fair to do to you or any local treasure.
You don't treat a treasure like
no.
that.
No. No, that's true.
All right, so you guys did stand-up together, correct?
Yes.
I was trying to think of this. Where was the first place we met? Where did you start? Did you start at the cottage or the womb?
No. The first place you and I worked together was at a club called Freddy's. And it was a pizza place and a VFW hall, but they also did stand-up comedy. That's where you and I worked together for the first time. And do you remember who hosted those shows, Vince?
Was it a Debbie Ward room?
It was a Debbie Ward run room.
What town was this in?
It was up north.
Palatine?
Like, oh, okay.
Was it Palatine? Right?
Maybe a little further north, but yeah, somewhere up around there.
The MC was a man who billed himself. He called himself Mr. Vegas, and he wore a tuxedo and had very, very, very bright teeth and bright hair, and he treated the show as though it was going on somewhere in Las Vegas.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
That's, Mr. Vegas.
That's who it was, Mr. Vegas?
Mr. Vegas was the host of the show, and sometimes he would give you advice, Vegas-y advice, like you got to face the audience. Oh, all right.
Yeah, that was always good.
All right. If you need me to face
wow,
the audience.
Wow, this club had pizza, Mr. Vegas, a yeah. VFW hall, and
you
what
can,
else? What, comedy.
You can see where the world of stand-up comedy would appeal to guys like Vince and myself, because, like you said, everything was there. Everything.
Sure. What more do you need?
Now, Vince, did you get into comedy before Bill, or Bill, you were before him?
Vince was before me.
Yeah, I started in, that's what started this whole yeah. thing of all these... Everything that I'm doing, I realized that August 26, 1982 was the first time I went up on stage at the Comedy Cottage, which would make this my 37th anniversary. And hey, you don't let a 37
no,
go
by. That's a
milestone.
That's a milestone.
Right?
But you know, it's
you
cool.
Know, 35, 40, those are dumb numbers. 37.
Nice round number. Right.
Yeah.
The beauty of your posts, Vince, and for people who don't know, Vince has, on his Facebook page, he's been posting for the last couple of weeks, little remembrances of his career, and it really is a beautiful time capsule of a simpler, more gentle time in the world of comedy.
Not only that, it's really bringing a lot of comics out of the... What's so funny, Bill, I was only going to do it up until the 26th.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm only up to 1986 now. I got decades to go. And I could spend five more posts just on 1986. So I'm just going to keep doing this till I run out of them because it's bringing a lot of other comics and they tell stories and it reminds me of more stories. So it's really fun.
And these stories, until now on your Facebook page, were never written down. You didn't have them banked somewhere. These are just in your head. They're floating around in your head, right?
Yeah. What I do is I have a thing. Where I took all my calendars. That was one of the posts I took on my calendars, and I wrote the first time I went through them, the first time I worked every room. And I have those as kind of a guideline that I use. But I don't even have them. I just start like today, I haven't done yet. But because I mentioned that I got started at Zany's yesterday in 86 and the people that I've met in the work, that spurred on two other ones. The one today I'm going to do is all the Zany's comedy clubs throughout the years that I work. Then the next one's going to be about all the different comedians I've worked at Zany's throughout the years. So, I mean, one spurs on like three or four other ones.
I love reading these. First of all, I like you a lot. I think you're funny. And I go
local
back.
Local treasure.
Well, he is.
He is a local treasure.
I grew up, I went to RB High School. I grew up in Brookfield. And in Lyons, right. Illinois, there was the Comedy Womb. And
sure.
I went to junior high with Carla Felicia, who was a stand-up comic
right.
at the time. And we would go to the Comedy Womb every Thursday night because that was open mic night. They would give you free pizza. Which was, Pizza Palace was this great place in Lyons. They had really good pizza. Mm-hmm. And I would go with Carla, and I would learn that you're not supposed to heckle people. I just felt like, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Sure.
So she told me never to do that again.
Yeah.
There were people there like Bill Hudson. That's a name sure. I remember. Bob Odenkirk, Jeff Garland. There were people that would just go in beautiful Lyons, Illinois.
Yeah. Yep.
It was such a great place. And then when I first met Vince, I worked at the Loop radio station, and I had tickets to go to an art gallery opening in Oak Brook, and Yoko Ono was going to be there mm-hmm. promoting all of John's new like little doodlings that
yeah.
he did.
Yeah.
And I said, Carla, do you want to go with me? And she's like, no, I'll take a pass, but I have this friend Vince who loves the Beatles, and I think that was our first and only date, and that's how we met each other. We drove to Oak Brook.
Wait, that was a date?
No. Well, no, a friendship date.
Oh.
I would say, no wonder I never go on dates. I go on them, I don't even know I'm on one.
But I didn't even know you, and we went to this, and we had a great time.
Yeah, we drank, if I recall, we each drank like 2 glasses of champagne
yeah.
and were blown away from stupid little champagne.
Wow.
Well, because Yoko Ono was in our presence.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool.
Vince, do you remember this about the Comedy Womb in Lyons? Underneath the Comedy Womb was this restaurant, and I remember Mark Schufelt, the guy who ran the Comedy Womb, said, you know, you're going to do your time. He said, but sometimes when you're working here, you'll have to help me break up a fight.
That
and
was
I
at
laughed.
Pizza Palace.
So what would happen is they would do wedding receptions, and this happened twice when I was there, Vince. I don't know if it ever happened when you were there, but twice during a show, he would get a call, and he would pick 4 or 5 guys, and we'd go downstairs and break up a fight at a wedding reception. Did that ever happen to you?
Did you get paid extra for that?
No, there was no extra pay for that.
No, I never had that. That's wow. I thought I've done it all. That's great.
You had to go down that rickety iron spiral staircase.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
I forgot.
I wrote about that in one of them. That the first time I went there, it's this old black metal staircase that you go up, and next to a brick wall, and it was all dark. And I said, walking up the first time, I'm like, wow, this is what a comedy club should be. Just dirty, dark, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Now, Vince.
And back.
Oh, go on.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Now, back then, too, I was thinking about this. Back then, too, you know, everybody smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
I can't believe when I was married at the time, my wife knew what room I left my sport coat in when she was walking down the stairs just from the smell of the cigarette.
Yeah. It was that bad. You wrote about Zanies, and you said a couple of interesting things, but most notably how uncomfortable you were with the room in the early days, that it took you several years to get comfortable in that room. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I still don't know. It was very intimidating, the fact that it was, no offense to the other clubs, but I mean, that was, well, it's been around for 40 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got some history. But that was like the A room. You know what I mean? Everything else was either showcases or one-nighters and occasional, you know, like 3 or 4 night rooms. But that was the boom room. And just, I don't know, just living in the suburbs my whole life. I mean, like I said in the post, I was actually intimidated by the drive. I would get off of 90 on North Avenue and my stomach would start getting all growly and everything. I mean, I just never did a lot of city stuff.
Do you think it's because, like, I don't know who you would go to see before you were a stand-up, but for me, like, when I was in college, whenever I would go to see Richard Lewis or Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno, it was at that club at Zanies on Wells, and when I started working there, the realization is, oh, this is real now. I'm working in rooms that the real guys work in.
Exactly. I saw Richard Lewis there, too. It's so funny. Everybody you mentioned, I went to downtown Zanies before I started comedy. To do a story you just reminded me of, I saw, now his name, escapes me. From Barney Miller.
Steve Landisberg? Steve Landisberg.
Yes, exactly. I saw Steve Landisberg at Harper College. This is before, like a year or so before I started.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so cool that he looked at his watch and goes, hey, you know what? If you want to ask me any questions, if you want me to do any bits that you've heard, if you want to share a story with me. And I thought, wow. At the time, I thought, wow, that was so cool. In retrospect, I look back. He had to do an hour and didn't have it. So, you know.
That was his shortcut.
Right. But as, you know, as somebody says, an audience member, like, wow, how cool is this guy? Look at it.
Vince, the first time I was lucky enough to headline at that Zanies, the Zanies on Wells, I got home and it's about 3:30 in the morning, and I'm getting out of my car at the same time my next door neighbor Tommy, who was a wedding DJ, was getting out of his car, and I'm dressed kind of like the way I always dress, a polo shirt and jeans. He's wearing a powder blue tuxedo because he just came from DJing. So he looks at me because it's 3:30 in the morning, and he just nods his head and he goes, "Show business. Why do we do it?" Well, for different reasons, I think.
Yeah, right.
Vince, we would have loved to have had you in the studio, but it's kind of a long haul to come down here today. And Friday traffic, the air and water show's going on.
I know. As I was telling Jasmine, I live in Woodstock now, and you guys are no stranger to that trip, having done it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have had him on then. That would have worked out perfectly. Timing is nothing
stupid
in this business.
And I was gonna surprise you guys and stop by, but then I got busy, and then I never got around to it.
That's all right.
Then you just thought about it again and said, nah.
I'm not going to do it.
My son Michael and I watched Mike and Molly all the time, and I'm telling you, he's so enamored with the story that there's a character named Vince Maranto, and I said, that's named after a real guy, but that's not him. He loves that, so he never listens to our show, Bill, but because Vince is on, he's listening today.
Hey, if you know a treasure's going to be on.
Yeah, local treasure's on, I'm there.
It just was so funny to hear the first episode I watched of Mike and Molly and to hear, yeah, and this is Vince Maranto. We all chuckled.
It's so funny because when Mark wrote the character, he wanted somebody with a strong Chicago Italian name like Vincent Maranto. That's how it was written. And everybody kept throwing names out. He's like, no, I don't like that. They got all the way up to the taping, and they're like, what are we going to do? And Carla, your ex-roommate, was one of the writers at the time. And Mark Gross, another guy that I knew, was one of the writers. And they were like, yeah, just use Vince's name. He'll get a kick out of it.
That's
awesome.
And
it was only supposed to be like a one- or two-episode character, but the guy ended up being on the show the entire time.
Yeah.
And didn't your dad get an even bigger charge than you out of it? Because your dad's also named Vince Maranto. That must have been a thrill for him.
Yeah, he's the real Vince Maranto. But you want to hear something weird that I found out later?
Huh.
If you watch the very first episode of Seinfeld,
yeah,
his neighbor is named Kessler, not Kramer.
Really?
And I found out why, because the real Kramer and the Seinfeld people had not come to a monetary term to be able to use his name. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can get paid for them using your name? Why didn't anybody tell me that?
That was a guy named Kenny Kramer, right, who was a friend of Jerry's.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Larry David, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Both of them, yeah, right.
It was a different time back then.
Right.
You could get paid for your name being on.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, if you ever see one of the, I think it's it might even be the pilot. His name is Kessler, and there's also an episode later on where they make mention of that, where Kramer says something, and Jerry goes, "Weren't you Kessler back then?"
Oh, that's
funny. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's funny that they referenced it. In writing these posts, Vince, where you're going back 25 years and 30 years and 35 years, does it shock you that that was that long ago when you're writing this stuff? Don't you go, that couldn't have been 35 years ago. That was yesterday.
Well, what amazes me is when I started doing comedy, I was the same age that my son is now.
Oh.
And that doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
Well, like the Mike Toomey one, Toomey was just out of high school. Toomey was a teenager when I first met him.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you look at that, did you see that picture? Because I love that picture.
Oh, of Mike with the really full curly hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wendy, did you see that?
Is this of you guys together?
Yeah.
I did see that. That's
yeah. scroll back and look at that one because he looks like he's in high school.
I love following your memories. It's been really a pleasure. I'm not in stand-up comedy, so just as an outsider, it's still really fascinating to read and to relive these moments. So will you come and see us sometime all the way from Woodstock? I mean, we'd love to have you in sometime.
Yeah, sometime when it's not a crazy Friday. Hey, can I plug a couple shows?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, this weekend I'm going to be at the Kenosha Comedy Club. Bill, you want to guess where that's at?
Kenosha, Wisconsin, I believe.
Very good, very good. Yep. I'm going to be at the Kenosha Comedy Club tonight, 8 o'clock, tomorrow 7 and 9. And coming up on Wednesday, the 21st,
yes,
I'll be headlining at Rosemont Zanies. That's 8 o'clock Wednesday the 21st.
I got to come see you again. You're such a local treasure, and I haven't seen your stand-up in a very long time. If you bring me
really quick with that.
Yeah.
If you use the promo code BEACHCHAIRS,
yes,
on either on the website or calling in person, you'll get tickets for $5 for that night.
Use the code BEACHCHAIRS.
Yes.
Are you making this up?
No. It's a bit that I do that people really, really enjoy and remember. Yeah.
Would you bring me some cheese curds from Kenosha?
Do you want to hear it just real quick?
Yeah, give us your beach chairs, bud. Absolutely.
Okay.
Vince, you're a local treasure. You don't have to ask Wendy my permission. You're a local treasure.
Anyway, I do think I go. When they give the temperature in Chicago, they have to give it at 137 different locations, like 35 in 35 at O'Hara, 35 in Gary, 35 in Wheelway, 35 in 36 in Joliet. Like, oh, my God, 36 in Joliet. Back up the car. We're going to Joliet. Get the beach chairs. Get the beach chairs. So that people, for some reason,
they love that.
The way I dance, the way I do, it's the gestures that I do. I realize that makes it funny.
It's still funny.
Vince, the one thing you told me once, well, I had you on the night show and you told me this, and I think about this all the time during hockey season, that there's a very specific key to giving hockey players nicknames. Do you remember this?
Yeah, if they have a one-syllable name like Taves or Kane,
yeah,
you make it two syllables like Kaner or Taser.
Yeah.
But if you have a two-syllable name like Seabrook, you cut it down to one syllable and make it Seab.
That's how you name hockey players with nicknames. It's right. So easy.
Right.
You see why you're such a local treasure, Vince?
That's why. If you said nothing else, Vince, if you said nothing else, that would make you a local treasure.
Good to talk to you again, and where people can follow you on Facebook. Read some of these memories. They're really great. Love the pictures. Love Mike Toomey's hair.
Who doesn't?
Thank you, Vince.
Maybe I'll do a whole post on Toomey's hair. All right, guys. Hey, thank you so much, and yes, I'll definitely come down there.
All right, cool. We'd love to see you. Vince Moretto, everybody.
Thank you, Vince.
Local treasure.
Well, come on, he is.
He's a local treasure.
Technically, you are, too.
Nah.
I'll take it away if you don't be nice.
Don't.
I have the power to do that.
That's my whole resume. That's all it says. All right. We'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon will stop by and give you some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.